From NPR and WBUR, I'm Peter O'Dowd.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, a move to make the fracking process more transparent. How's that going?
But first, President Obama today met with Myanmar's opposition leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, at the home where she was held prisoner for nearly 20 years before the country's surprising move away from authoritarian rule. Obama and Suu Kyi emerged from that meeting for a joint press conference, during which the president joined her in criticizing the country's slow democratic reforms.
It's clear how much hard work remains to be done and that many difficult choices still lie ahead. The process for reform is by no means complete or irreversible. For many, progress has not come fast enough or spread far enough. People need to feel safe in their homes.
That last part, a clear reference to the persecution of the country's Muslim minority, the Rohingya. Vikram Nehru, Senior Associate and Chair in Southeast Asian Studies at the Carnegie Endowment for Peace, is with us from Washington. Vikram, welcome.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Well, could you start with the plight of the Rohingya? The UN says they're one of the world's most persecuted minorities. I'd imagine most Americans don't know much about them. What are they facing in Myanmar?
Well, the Rohingya community is a community of about 1 million Muslims living in Myanmar, who in 1982 were declared stateless by the military junta at the time under a citizenship law that they passed. And since then, they have been the subject of persecution by the government and by the people, actually, of Myanmar. Most recently, in 2012, there was a considerable amount of violence perpetrated against them by the Buddhist majority. About 100,000 fled the country, 100,000 Rohingyas fled the country. Another 140,000 have been put in internment camps and are dependent entirely on international humanitarian assistance. Their lives are miserable. They don't have access to any economic livelihood. They've lost access to their property and to their land. And basically, they're facing a very, very difficult situation.
And the government doesn't even approve of using the name of this group. You know, if you look at President Obama and Aung San Suu Kyi today, clearly they were getting along at the press conference. But she was more reserved in her comments on the Rohingya. She didn't even use the name here, which suggests that the government's policy toward them may have a very tough road to change. What does that say to you?
Well, it is interesting that virtually across every strata of Myanmar society, there is this antagonism against the Rohingya community. And you're quite right. The word Rohingya is not used in Myanmar. The word instead is Bengali. And with a clear intention and a signal that these people, according to the Myanmarese, don't belong in Myanmar, but actually belong in Bangladesh. Now, recently, there was an action plan brought out by the government, the Rakhine Action Plan, which provides a road to citizenship. But that road is so steep and so difficult that very few people are likely to benefit from it. And those who are not considered naturalized citizens will, in fact, be put into camps. And so this is, again, an extremely worrying development and something which I'm sure President Obama is aware of and is not a development that anyone would like to see.
Well, this is the second time the president has been to Myanmar, also known as Burma, last time 2012. And this time around, it's because of the Asian Nations Conference that the Burmese are hosting. But the president has made the country a major focus of his Asia policy. Why is that?
Well, it's become a major focus of Asia policy for several reasons. First of all, there is the U.S. pivot to Asia, where the United States now is clearly recognizing the importance of Asia's development for the West. And a key part of that actually is Myanmar. After 50 years of isolation and dealing only with the Chinese, for the first time in 2010, the Myanmar instituted reforms that brought trade openness of the country, increasing links to the West, and in fact was the last part of Southeast Asia which had been lagging behind the rest of the region. So this was a very important development. Human rights may not be fully introduced, but there was freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of the press that was introduced.
And can you tell us what's the status of those reforms, especially the financial reforms? You know, all this talk that foreign investment would be coming into Myanmar after the president came didn't seem to work out. A lot of that, I assume, because the reforms have been slow to come.
Well, the reforms have been slow, but actually recently they've announced several foreign banks can now operate in Myanmar, of course restricted to the foreign investment community. There are gradually reforms taking place. I think the low-hanging fruit have already been picked. Now comes the more difficult part of the more sort of institutional sorts of reforms.
It's a long road, to be sure. Vikram Nehru, Senior Associate of the Asia Program and Chair in Southeast Asian Studies at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.